by our wonderful word nerd, Eleanor Harrison-Dengate, for Word of the Week. Eleanor, good morning.
Good morning, Jess.
What is our word this week?
Well, it's one I'm actually very excited about.
I have noticed. I have noticed this morning, everyone out there. Just to let you know, Eleanor came in this morning. The first words were not good morning, Jess. They were like, Word of the Week. I'm excited.
Well, because this one's it's a great word. It's got a lot of history behind it, which I'm going to tell you about.
And slow it is, down. It's okay. Take a breath. It's going to be all right. What is it?
Ghetto.
Ghetto.
Mm.
All right. Define.
So, I guess it's a place. You know what? I didn't even look up the definition, but I guess it's a place that, I mean, it's gone through a few variations of its definition, but I guess it's basically part of a city. Or now we think of it as a sort of part of a slum area or something.
Yeah, like a lower socioeconomic area of a city.
Yeah, usually occupied by a minority group.
Okay.
So I guess that's how you would put
where
it.
Does it come from?
So it's like many words, etymology is very much disputed. But in the 1610s, it came into English in the 1610s, and it was basically part of a city where Jews were supposed to live.
Oh, okay.
And it's possibly could have come from Yiddish, which might mean deed of separation. It could possibly be related to Venetian ghetto, which could mean foundry. And there was a foundry near the site of the Venetian ghetto in 1516. Or it could possibly be like a clip version of the form Egitto, which means Egypt, which is from Latin, and that has something to do with exile. So, or it could be from Italian Borghetto, which is a small section of a town.
So lots of different options there, but all of them kind of meaning separation there, and all of them meaning foundry or separation or zone.
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it really hasn't changed all that much through history. The definition per se, where
not
it's
really
come from.
Yeah, not really. It's interesting because, I mean, obviously the ghetto that we know has definitely come from Venetian ghetto. Presumably the reason why you have all these possible etymologies is because Venice was such a massive trading port. So
love a good trade route.
Love a good trade route.
Love a trade route.
Always got to bring that up. but yeah, so basically it's related to Venetian ghetto. And I thought when we were sort of talking about this, I wanted to tell you about some of my favourite sort of bits of history, I guess, and about how you know how Jews were the moneylenders of Europe?
Mm-hmm. And historically, yes.
Historically, you know why?
No.
Because they're the only people who could charge interest.
Really?
Yes.
Is that a law, a historic law, or was it
no,
just
Muslims and Christians can't charge interest.
As part of their faith?
Yes.
Really?
And it's still the case for Islamic
people. How does
Islamic
the Catholic
people?
Church make so much money then?
Well, they got over it. They got over it after a while.
So the Jewish faith was the only one that allowed people to charge interest?
Pretty much.
Wow.
So that's why they're known, that's why they're moneylenders. So once you had the sort of, Renaissance and I think it started off in the Netherlands, suddenly someone went, well, actually, why don't we charge interest? And that you can basically trace the Industrial Revolution, Renaissance, everything back to starting to charge interest. Actually what comes, that's what has basically catapulted all the sort of modernization movements that we've had, is
that's
just being
amazing.
Able to charge interest. Yeah.
That is, and everyone out there listening as well, I've got to say, one of my favorite moments, not of history, but of this morning, is when Eleanor said, I get to talk about one of my favorite things today, interest. And I was like, as in on money. That is apparently one of the favourite things of Miss Eleanor Harrison-Dengate.
Well, I think it's really fascinating, this part of history, because I remember, it's one of those things, like I remember sort of vaguely reading about things and people sort of talking about Jews as moneylenders, but you don't really understand why.
That's really fascinating that the Jewish faith was the only faith that allowed for interest to be charged.
Essentially.
What a strange thing to be tied to religion as well, I think. I guess not. It's all about...
Well, it's fascinating. It's such an interesting thing.
My mind is absolutely blown.
Mm.
Absolutely. So we've got pretty much all industrial events of the world of history being traced back to the charging of interest rates. We've got ghettos coming from
And the thing is with Venice, obviously, it was this huge, port of trade.
Mm.
And it was all backed by these moneylenders.
Wow.
You know, so none of this stuff, I think you could argue that none of this stuff would have happened without the Venetian moneylenders, despite the fact that they've been horribly represented by Shakespeare in The Merchant of Venice, where you've got, I don't know if you heard of Shylock.
No, see, I didn't study The Merchant of Venice. Well, I did A Midsummer Night's Dream like six times, but I didn't do The Merchant of Venice.
So yeah, The Merchant of Venice has this, the evil character is a Venetian moneylender or a Venetian Jew.
Okay.
And he's accused of being a usurer, and no one's ever quite sure what a usurer is, but they just know that if they're being charged high interest rates, then they're definitely the victim of usury.
Okay, so everyone in Australia who's ever taken money from a bank is a victim of usury.
Well, they can say that if they want. They can choose to say that. But it's fascinating. Like, the money lenders, you know, they're the ones that basically they funded the grain shipments in ancient Athens, you know, and the first trade between Christians in Europe and the Saracens in the East. You know, obviously the merchants of Venice, the merchants of Holland. So the, you know, Dutch East India Company, you know, which is the biggest company, multinational, like the biggest company the world has ever seen, was the Dutch East India Company.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Like, if you adjust it, obviously, for inflation and all that kind of thing. But yes, by far the biggest. So, you know, England, they supported, the moneylenders supported Spain's exploration of the New World. So all of this stuff is actually coming back sort of to Jewish moneylenders.
Who lived in the ghettos.
Yeah.
Because they were segregated from the rest of the city.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
That's why I was so excited this morning, because I was getting to sort of say some of my favourite parts of history.
This is absolutely insane. And see, I guess then back in those days, ghettos wouldn't have necessarily been a bad thing.
Oh, no, they were.
Oh, okay.
No one likes Jews.
Yeah, well, that's sad.
Not back then.
But they wouldn't have...
huge anti-Semitism.
But it wouldn't have been like a slum in the way that it was these days. Because if they are moneylenders and these people are the ones controlling finances that are financing so many huge adventures and ventures, would it not have flowed through to the economy of the ghettos?
Yeah, so the ghettos, I mean, you can see the ghettos in Venice, and, you know, there's a lot of sort of silver in those... there's a lot of silver in that museum. So, yeah, you can see the money there. But
it still wasn't a nice place to be because of the anti-Semitic.
You were very much on the edge of a knife, I think, being a Jew in Venice. You're either, things are going really great and you're lending a lot of money, or everyone blames you if everything goes badly.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll be horribly prosecuted.
I guess if the venture doesn't work through no fault of the moneylender, they would be kind of the one blamed. The scapegoat,
which is
almost
similar to, I guess, what you could argue about what's happening today, when, you know, people taking out these huge loans that led to the 2008 GFC and they know they can't pay them back. Everyone blames the banks. But also...
it's actually your poor mismanagement of funds.
But
more
that
than anything.
Too. And I mean, you know, that's something I think that sort of does need to be brought up occasionally. But and so that's kind of what happened. And then obviously you have these huge movements with the French Revolution, and that's when, you know, you have liberalism sweeping across Europe, and that's when the Jews no longer had to be in ghettos. And then you have the ghetto that we know of that happened with the Nazis, which was very, very different to the Venetian ghetto. That was obviously was when they were sort of being weighted, like they were being, well, they were waiting to be gassed and horrible, horrible things like that, the Warsaw ghetto.
Mm.
And then, now I guess the way we think of ghetto is
modern incarnation of ghettos, yeah.
It's associated with African Americans.
Mm.
And that actually came out in, I think the first time it was recorded was 1899. But what's really interesting about this, and I didn't know this, was that it was actually a deliberate decision by Black American scholars and activists. So,
really? To adapt the word?
Yeah. So they actually chose that. They chose ghetto because apparently, in terms of the African American, it was relatively unknown until 1943. But once, you know, people started knowing about the Warsaw ghettos and the... you know,
persecution.
The hideousness happening in World War II and the Nazism. Basically, the word ghetto was brought into headlines, and that's when I'm going to quote these people, because that way, then, if you're like, I might be wrong, you can blame them. Don't blame me. But yeah, so these African American sociologists, Horace Caton and St. Clair Drake, they used the term. And they basically said that they used the term ghetto for the African American areas because it was a metaphor of both segregation and the Caucasian purity type thing, which is obviously something
in the Nazi era.
Yeah, something wow. America is struggling
with. How fascinating that although it means the same thing, although the definition of the word has not changed greatly since the Venetian times, the incarnations of the word in each era in, you know, 1945 in modern day, all around the world has been so... so different but so similar. It's absolutely fascinating. And it all goes back to interest rates and money lenders.
Oh, I love that.
Eleanor, I learn something new every week. I tell you what, you make me a smarter person. Because then I travel into my week and I look for excuses to use these words that we have in Word of the Week. And someone will bring up a word. Ghetto might be a little bit harder to work into my everyday lexicon. There have been easier ones, I tell you what. But I always sound so clever, and it's such a fascinating way to look at history. An absolutely amazing job this week. We're going to have to leave it there. My mind is blown. Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you.
That was our wonderful executive producer and resident word nerd, Eleanor Harrison-Dengate, there with Word of the Week.